RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, let's go around the NFL here in the loop. I'm Reginald Adetula. You got our guy B. Scott in for the OG John Lopez, Colin Neal sitting in for Figgy Fig, but you always rocking with us here on your Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. And we had quite a weekend of National Football League football to go around. And so the game that I think we were all most dialed into, the Jacksonville Jaguars were able to fend off the Indianapolis Colts, although I don't know how much we can call it a fending off in this game, 23-17, and a number of things happened in this game, including the Jaguars were not as dominant in this game as one might imagine. The Colts were doing a pretty good job early on of keeping this game winnable, and I think that that was the tragedy of it for me, B. Scott, was that
same.
I probably came into this game with very little belief in the Colts. I had said it a few weeks back that I thought all of the hopes of winning the AFC South for the Texans would ride on the Broncos.
Yeah.
Early on in this game, I was like, wait, hold on a minute. The Colts might be able to do something. Had some good stops. Had a fumble recovery on a play that I think people gave Liam Cohen way too much crap for. That was a good play on the hook and lateral.
Yeah.
That ultimately was just fumbled by a dude that you trust to have the ball in his hands. And the Colts had, what was it, a tie game at the half?
Yeah.
This felt like a game in which the Colts were actually going to do you a favor, but of course, the stinky Colts.
Or no, the Colts were up at the half, weren't they?
Were they up at the half?
Was it not 10-7? I think it was.
I'll have to go back and look at it, but
yeah,
yes.
I think they were up at the
half. It was...
Yeah, the Colts were up 10-7
at the half. You're right. It was 10-7 at the half. So even that, like even more so, you were in a place where it felt like the Colts were going to be able to do you a solid. Nah.
Yeah. Nah. Yeah, no, we were relying on you, Colts. We thought that we could... Relying you to do at least something. We figured we could rely on you to lose to the Texans in the final week. But also, you know, you teased us just enough, again, with that 10-7 lead at halftime and a fairly competitive game throughout. Like, this was one down to the wire. Like, the score in this one is, like, the Jaguars end up winning by a wider margin than the Texans did against the Chargers. But it felt like a similarly close game.
Yes.
Right, that I would say that's fair. So, you know, it's disappointing, but it's also to be expected that the Colts here kind of hanging by a thread, the desperation of going to go get Phillip Rivers in the first place, the fact that they were ever in this game is something to marvel at. So, but it would have been nice to see them actually do us a favor here.
Were you watching this game live as it happened?
Yes.
Did you have any qualms with the decision that Shane Steichen made where they have the ball, it's a fourth down, and there's still some time. I think this happens with probably somewhere around 5 minutes or somewhere in there to go, and they decide not to punt the football but to go for it on fourth down. Greg Olsen on the broadcast was leaning heavily into the idea of, well, look, if you give the ball to them, it's actually a good idea. It's better short field. You don't have to waste as much time, or you don't give them an opportunity to waste as much time if they do score. You're still going to need your defense to make a stop, and if you can hold them to a field goal, it's 6 points as opposed to and you could still go and maybe try and get a touchdown. Were you with them on that, or were you more of a thought process of your defense has done a pretty solid job in this game, go ahead and punt, play the field position, maybe a more traditional approach to that?
No, I thought Greg Olsen was spot on. And normally, if you're trying to figure out the best football decision, leaning on Greg Olsen's judgment is not the worst way to go.
Mm-hmm.
So I would do that, even though I would have agreed with that, whether he pointed it out or not. I would lean on that. I'm also not the best person to ask this because I prefer to go for it. Like, I lean.
You're the Madden player.
Yes.
You're like four verts and go for it on fourth.
Like, I'm trying to put myself.
How dare you punt?
Let's say I'm a Colts fan. What do I want to happen there? I want to be aggressive and go for it, especially knowing that the season's over with. Like, we're playing for pride. We're playing to go win the game, not to kind of. Let's play field position and see what happens. Now, let's see what happens on this play and go for it. So I was in support of that, whether it worked or not.
All right. So I was probably in your shoes as well. Unfortunately, the Colts aren't able to do it. They fall 23-17, and it does feel like the Jaguars, man, feels like they are cooking with grease.
Yeah.
In a way here, like they do look like a team to beat in the AFC. And with that being said, I have seen some Jaguars fans talking out of the side of their neck.
It is the reason why I cannot stand them. Like, you ask, people will ask, what are the biggest rivals? Like, who are the Texans' biggest rivals? And there are cases that you can make for any of the teams in the AFC South. But I always say that it's the Jags that I hate the most because of their fans. If you're not familiar with them, you might not suspect that they got that big of a fan base. So you might look at their stadium.
It's an annoying one.
It's not a big fan base. It's a loud fan base. They're loud as hell. And man, like the opportunity to have taken the division away from them, or to at least, I guess, had some help in this case to kind of come from behind and take the division like right out of snatch it right from their chest was just too irresistible for me. I hate that they couldn't do it.
Duval,
get out of here with that. But they have. I cannot lie to the audience. They have been impressive. An impressive football team. Trevor Lawrence, like, he's making some throws, making, like, all of a sudden he's a really good decision maker. Like, he is actually this year finally starting to look like the guy that they've always told us that he was.
I was about to say good for them, but also I don't mean that.
Don't be nice. Come on.
Hell with that. I'm being.
Exactly. He is being nice.
I'm with Colin, because I'm being honest. I ain't trying to be nice here.
Fair.
Because to hell with them. But if we're just being real, they're impressive.
They are, but Trevor Lawrence did not look good in that first half against Indianapolis.
Not in the first half, but he started making throws. Like, he made his best throw of the game, I feel like, in the third or fourth
possibly
quarter
of the season. Is that the one to the left side of the field,
yes,
the out route?
Yes.
Jeez.
Come on, man. Like, it's elite stuff.
Pressure over extended hand and then over past a defender with really good position.
He's doing things. Justin Herbert in the game against the Texans is doing things.
We should give Justin Herbert his flowers in that game, because that offensive line was putrid, and he was doing a lot to make any of that go well for them at all.
And even see that, like, if I just talk about guys who are still a little bit, guys who have either gotten their second contract or are about to get it, but are still a little bit unproven in that way and are going to need these playoffs to kind of help add to that reputation. Those are three guys that really stand out to me that have these moments, right? Mm-hmm. I think C.J. Stroud's numbers may not necessarily be comparing to those other two guys that I mentioned, but they're making throws and making plays where you're like, oh, that guy is among an elite group.
Somebody said, I used to only dislike the Colts, never had an issue with the Titans. Rest of the Texans taking a second to come in. I hate all three now. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's good football.
Yeah.
Shout out to the AFC South. Escaping from the basement, I guess, of the NFL. And shout out to the AFC South. Shout out to the NFC South for now being the basement. Do you realize that we could end up with, for once again, a division winner that is actually sub .500?
Yeah.
We are set up with that. There was a few games that were able to make that happen. The Seahawks beat the Carolina Panthers. The Panthers had a chance to win the NFC South with that game, mind you, after Tampa Bay had lost earlier in the day as well. Tampa Bay, Baker Mayfield, talk about turning back into a pumpkin.
My goodness, man. To go from MVP talks to this.
You remember that? I remember that.
I'm old enough. The gray in my beard says that I'm old enough to remember it.
They lost. He lost to Quinn Ewers and the Miami Dolphins.
Yo, what are we doing? What are we doing? And the fact that the NFC South gets to be represented, like the participation trophy aspect and element.
We can't talk too big about that.
Of the playoff format, this is a perfect example of its pitfalls, right? The fact that they're going to get to be represented in these playoffs. And then the faint possibility that they could win a game or maybe even win another game. Like if one of those, whoever survives the NFC South, the idea that they could go on a run and somehow like even represent the NFC. I don't think that's going to happen, to be clear, especially after watching those teams that we watched last night. But let's just be real. This should not be. This is a grave injustice. We should not be subjected to this.
So are you rooting then for the Carolina Panthers as they go to Tampa Bay in Week 18? Because then they would at least be a 9-8 team and get that spot, as opposed to if they lose, they could be 8-9. Tampa would be 8-9. And then Tampa would win if the Falcons, or no, yeah, if the Falcons lose, I believe, then the Carolina Panthers would get in.
The Panthers are at least a feel-good story, right? Like, I think that at the very least you get some new blood, a team that seemed like it was dead in the water, and they've kind of turned things around. Bryce Young's looking a lot better. That defense is really good. So I think they would be the most entertaining out of the ones that are possibilities. I'll give them that.
All right, some other things around the NFL. Another game that impacted the Texans quite a bit. The Eagles fended off the Buffalo Bills. The two-point conversion decision heard around the world. The Texans would be the 5 seed now if the season ends today because of that decision. Sean McDermott says that he'd go for that potential game-winning two-point conversion again.
Really?
Are you with him on that?
I don't know. Is he with him on that? Does he mean that? Like
he said it in a way that felt like he meant it.
Yeah, and this is one where kind of similar to the one before. You don't want to play the results, but yeah, like it's like, man, if you don't get this, you're pretty much giving the game away. So yeah, that's one that I would second guess a lot more than say the Shane Steichen one we talked about earlier.
So 13-12 was the score in favor of the Eagles. As I mentioned, Josh Allen with 5 seconds left in the game was able to run into the end zone. That was the second of his rushing touchdowns. No passing touchdowns in this game, which indicates just how the offense was going.
Yeah.
Right. It was just another Josh Allen put it on your back type game. And that was where it made it 13-12. And obviously a extra point would have tied it. They go for two to try and win it. And my general thought process is, the philosophy is, if you feel like you're the better team, you tie it up and you allow, let's get more football. If you do not feel like you're the better team in this moment, you go, let's see if we can win it now in a shortened circumstance where it's just, I get it or I don't, one play. As opposed to if you put more plays in there, the likelihood is that the better team will win more of those plays and you end up in a bad place. I think that if you look at the way that the game had gone, you can make an argument for either of those.
Yeah.
You can make an argument that either of these teams was the better team on the day,
yeah,
which I imagine would lean towards taking the extra point, but I don't hate going, hey, put this in Josh Allen's hand. However, Josh Allen looked very bad on that extra point.
But also, how about the fact that the Eagles now are like historically, they have historically bad offensive stretches. I'm forgetting some of the numbers that I've seen.
So the Philadelphia Eagles failed to complete a pass in the second half of this game. It's the second time that they've done so in a win this year.
My goodness.
That's the first time that's happened since 1987 with the New England Patriots.
Dude. So, like, they are, and so a credit to their defense as well. Like, they are offensively inept.
They didn't complete a pass in the second half.
What the hell?
And they won the football game.
Yo. Like,
that is the reigning champions of the National Football League.
Against a Bills team that, you know, has had stretches where they've been really good offensively, and they just were not in this game. But yeah, no. I mean, it is incredible that could even be possible, that they could win games without completing passes in the year of our Lord 2025.
Dude, Nick Sirianni will forever annoy me. Like, he perplexes me, sure, but
he
annoys
me. Do you think he's a good coach?
I don't know. Like, I think it has been a little of a bit, but it's not a bit. It's really that I have not given Nick Sirianni his credit. And people are like, winning championships.
Yep.
And I'm just like, why does your team always look like this? And remember, he's an offensive guy. And the offense is always struggling. You always got the wide receiver one trying to get more attention and more love. Wide receiver two over there doing things, but not enough conversations about the quarterback. Sometimes not getting the running back the ball enough. Like, just how does this keep happening with your team?
Look, man, this profession has allowed us enough access to successful people. And it has given me the opinion that success does not equal good.
Wow.
Just as much
strong
as,
agree.
Just as much as good does not always equal success.
Correct.
He is a successful coach. You cannot argue with the results. They have been successful since he's been the head coach. Does success mean that you're good? I do not believe that. I know too many successful people who are not good, and he is one of them.
Very much so. Very much so. Shout out to Howie Roseman, though. That dude is good. He be adding talent on that team, baby.
He is good.
He be adding talent on the team. All right, that's around the NFL. We'll talk about some more of the NFL things that happen as the show goes along. But you are indeed in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up, somebody said the extra point was in a foregone conclusion. Bass had missed one before that. That's a great point.
That's fair enough.
Because he did miss the other one. And
That might have gone into the decision
it
as
has
much
to
as
have.
Anything.
Yeah. It has to have. Yeah. It has to
that's
have.
That's fair.
All right, coming up next. I feel like C.J. Stroud gave us another way of him handling pressure. However, also, there is a conversation to be had about what felt like poor pressure planning. Let's talk about the pressure in this charger, in this win versus the Chargers next.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
It's a Mokarem Injury Lawyers Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atatula.
CJ out of the shotgun set. Woody in the backfield. Motion by Kirk to the right. Stroud puts the leg down. Here's the snap. CJ looking. CJ throwing deep downfield and has Higgins at the 30, the 20, the 10, 5. Rock and roll. Jaden Higgins to the end zone. 75 yards. Welcome to L.A.
Yep. Welcome to L.A. indeed.
How about it?
Yep. And the fellas got a win leaving L.A. 20-16. That's how it got started, with a big 75-yard bomb.
A way to set the tone, baby.
Buddy, you talk about setting the tone. I was like, oh, okay, this is what time we on? You know how you have those moments in life where you're like, oh, I had not understood what the circumstance was. Yeah. I'm now with you.
When you do one of these, kind of rev back a little bit, like,
yeah, okay.
Okay.
I was unfamiliar with your game.
Yeah, eyebrows raise a little bit, perk up.
That was one of them. Within this game though, I was looking at the pressure stats. It was solid. I think it was probably about one of a middle range kind of pressure game, at least when you talk about time to throw. Time to pressure stats I haven't been able to get, but like generally pretty decent quarterback pressure and time to throw game for CJ Stroud in this offense, which in a way I think you can use to credit the offensive line. I think that they, especially considering your current, at least when with the iteration of your starting offensive line that you've settled into, your tackles were not there. Those are some of your most important things. And in a way, who you've settled in as your starting left guard is not there because he's out playing right tackle.
Correct.
That's the way that it goes. And you're able to hold up pretty damn well with a average for you this season. Pressure rate, time to throw, you're able to get the ball out deep, hold on, and get yourself some deep shots as well in this game. I think that was solid. But handling pressure was not like static. It wasn't just average all the way across. You had some moments where it was really good, and you had some moments where it was
exactly
so-so, which feels like that has been the name of the game for the Texans this year.
And it did feel like the moments where it was so-so or not very good were some key moments. They were on third downs. You think about when things started to go left, or when they stopped being as hot as they were, or C.J. Stroud's first incompletion. You know, when you think about that, it's actually starts on that third drive after they're already up 14-0, and they, you know, they move the ball a little bit, but then on that third down, they face a little pressure and have to throw it away, and that's when it kind of starts. And so even with what you say, like there being some good moments, and C.J. Stroud, for the most part, did have enough time to throw. I want to be clear about it. Like, he did have enough time to throw. But in the moments that he didn't, or at least it felt like, the thing that was holding them back from continuing from the way that they started was an inability to consistently handle pressure against, to be fair, a team that doesn't send a lot of pressure. Like, the Chargers are not a heavy pressure team, so it's not like you got a ton of pressure, like scouted pressure looks from them. And so they're doing it a little bit more than they normally do it. But at the same time, you got to be ready for that because of who you are. You've shown an inability to handle it. So that means that a team that doesn't necessarily do it as much might do it a little bit more until you prove that you can consistently do so. And they weren't, I don't think, able to do that. Even though they had some answers for it.
Yeah. A question that comes in on the text line. Why is it so hard to get a feel-good win? Or rather, why is it so hard to feel good about it when offense came out ready to play, then completely disappeared? Who was that on? I think some of that was the opening script was good. They saw a place where they could punch the Chargers or zig where the Chargers expected them to zag. They took, and then they fell back into the recipe, as we have called it, like what they typically are. I think also there's something to be said within the pressure because of your offensive line, what it typically is. Usually, I think the high watermark for this offensive line is average in the league. And you were dealing with missing two of the guys that you typically want to go to. So I think that also brought you to a different place, with credit to Blake Fisher stepping in, handling it admirably. Obviously, Titus Howard is the talent capable of playing right tackle, but he hasn't been playing that recently. Jared Patterson steps in at left guard, handles his job decently well. But there were times, as we mentioned, where the pressure comes in and they blow up drives. I mean, I think drive number 12, it is in the fourth quarter, late in the game. You have a couple of pressures that either were unblocked or you had free rushers. And Kurt Warner made an interesting point on the broadcast. And he made note of the idea that it felt like there was no pressure plan.
Yeah.
And how does that hit you? Because it feels like that has been the case, or something that's been noted a little bit, where Where's CJ Stroud's hot? Or were they able to, you know, get to the line and set the protection well enough so that you don't end up in a place where you have free rushes, or you end up in a place where you know where to go with the football?
Yeah, it's either no pressure plan, as Kurt Warner describes it, or a poor pressure plan. Because, and to his, the point that he was making was, okay, you got a free rusher, they're bringing pressure, but everything you have, like you're saying, is deep. It's long developing. It's not enough quick stuff to mitigate said pressure. And so, like, what kind of plan is that? What are you doing? Are you setting your offense up to fail? And so I think that is a fair criticism. It was more so, and this is where my, almost went Bobby Sloak, this is where my Nick Caley criticism comes in. And when people talk about it, if there was anything that I did have a problem with, it was less of the overall play calling, and it was more so specifically that of, hey, when there's pressure, why is it, you know, these long developing routes that you're going to that are at that point low percentage throws and low percentage plays for CJ Stroud in the offense?
Now, within that, because it sounds like I'm just being negative, I can do that sometimes. Apologies. I actually had something that felt like a positive. You could tell me if I actually am positive here. 713-572-4610. Within this, because I thought CJ gave us and found a little bit of an answer or a pseudo answer to that pressure and that criticism that you bring up.
Yeah.
Of oftentimes with Nick Caley and this offense, it feels like he is either leaving CJ on an island to figure out his pressure plan or just not supplying one at times with, you know, routes that are deep, that are late breaking routes, and maybe not as much check down opportunities at times. I thought we saw something, and tell me if you noticed this as well. CJ just kind of hanging the ball up there a little bit more, standing in, allowing that pressure to get, you know, pretty deep into the pocket, but then saying, I'll hold off as long as I can, and I'll throw this ball up. I'll throw it towards the sideline. I'll put it a little bit further out to mitigate some of the risk, but I'll throw a little bit of a jump ball. This is maybe a pass that I should drive, but I'll throw it up, let it hang, and hopefully this wide receiver, once that route develops a little bit further, can get to it. I kind of like that as an option. I don't know how viable it'll be continually, because that you hang up the football and all sorts of things can happen, but it felt like he did it in a way where he did indeed mitigate the risk on a deep corner. Put it up. The guy's not in his break yet. He's not there yet, but if I hang it up there, maybe he has some time to get underneath it, and if he doesn't, it's a little far to maybe it lands out of bounds, but this is a way to not have to just throw the football away or not have to now just try and run around in the backfield to give that guy time to get to where he can and then not, still not be able to set my feet and get the ball out. I can set my feet, recognize that I'm going to a landmark, throw it up, and maybe see if I can give him time to get there.
It's a good observation, because it is something that CJ Stroud is doing to allow his guys a chance to make a play. Another thing that is doing is allowing the opposing defense to make a mistake. We've seen times now, I feel like CJ Stroud, we've seen instances where CJ Stroud and Davis Mills have done this now, where they'll throw it up there and then give an opportunity for a defensive back to either interfere or some kind of illegal contact, and it's kind of a bailout play. We've seen that a little bit. But I like even more so you pointing out CJ Stroud, because, like, I'm doing the Nick Caley criticism thing, but we should not forget that CJ Stroud has been given more autonomy and the ability to make checks and to make changes at the line of scrimmage and to actually be the person that is in charge for how to handle these, to recognize these pressures and then, like, pre-snap, and then how to handle them post-snap from there. So I think it is incumbent on CJ Stroud to find answers one way or another, whether it's the antidote that you're using here, the example that you're using, or if it's checking into something quick, something hot. One way or another, it may be more so on CJ Stroud to find those answers. And so if we're going to criticize the lack of pressure planning or the poor pressure planning, it shouldn't just be on the play caller. It should be kind of a shared responsibility on both the play caller and the quarterback.
Without question, there's definitely some instances where I go, and of course, this is where I recognize my limitations, because I'm like, I don't know football to the point of knowing all the different opportunities and answers that you could have in that moment. But I'm like, I feel like the quarterback maybe should have some answers in this instance.
But this is a good observation by you, though, because it's CJ Stroud, I think, specifically playing to his strengths, right? The ball placement specialist. I know we've overplayed that term since he's been drafted.
Sure.
But he views himself that way. His accuracy is supposed to be kind of the hallmark of his, or the calling card of his, you know, skill set, you know, the height of his skill set. So he's leaning into that and allowing his receivers to make a play in that instance, I cannot be mad at that.
I love you bringing up the idea, though, that some that also just throwing that ball up there could be an opportunity of maybe he gets to it, maybe he doesn't. And there's a secret third option of maybe they throw a flag.
Yeah, and we've seen it a time or two.
And we've seen it a lot this year, not just the throw the flag, but also on a ostensibly not catchable football, right? We've seen that, and it's frustrated me personally to no end, the instances where it's like, that's not catchable. The rules dictate that that then would not be a flag, but they'll throw it anyways.
Yeah.
See if you can get some of those in your benefit. Shout out to Jane Coaston.
Yeah.
She'll always talk about the all PI offense. Hey, see if you can get some PI in here, man. Why not? Get some PI in your life. But ultimately, I thought that was an interesting thing that I saw, and I wonder if that continues as a development for CJ Stroud, or if that was like a momentary answer to try and see if he could get some value out of it, especially against a team that had allowed them to go for a 75-yard and a 43-yard touchdown early in the game.
Maybe this is for a different segment and a different question for another day, but is that ethical football?
Is that unethical? Because people talk about ethical hoop.
Yeah. I mean, because it is kind of the equivalent of foul hunting, borderline flopping. It's not actual flopping. It's not tier tart level flopping.
Hey, man, tier tart, bro.
But it is kind of hunting the penalty there. So I don't ethical or not, it's been working. Just saying.
Yeah, we'll see if it continues to work for the Texans. Worked enough. They got the victory 20-16 versus the Chargers. They're set. They have their tickets booked for the playoffs. Now all that's left to be determined is where they go, whether that's NRG Stadium or somewhere else in the league. In fact, coming up next, let's talk about what's popping, including one of the games that maybe dictates possibly where they go. And also, man, the Rockets beat down the Cleveland Cavaliers. We'll talk about that more next.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
All right, let's get into What's Poppin' here in the Loop on a victory reaction Monday. Texans get a victory versus the Los Angeles Chargers at SoFi Stadium, 20-16. Punch their ticket for the playoffs. Third straight year. That is the first time in franchise history that they've managed to do that particular feat. And shout out to D'Amico Ryans for doing that. In fact, I don't know for certain that this is how it will go, but it's leaning more and more likely that the Texans are actually going to go in as a wild card, which would be the first time that they've done that as well. Make the playoffs in the National Football League by not winning their division. Of course, thanks for nothing, Indianapolis Colts. And now we have to see if Cam Ward, quietly looking really good at football.
Yeah.
We'll have to see if Cam Warden and co can maybe do our bidding next week, but
we're not going to really get into a lot of hypotheticals and a lot of speculation.
That is reckless speculation. Thank you for keeping me honest there, Colin. But regardless, Texans will be in the playoffs this year. Officially now.
Yeah. They're going to be in the playoffs. And you tell me if you're anything like me, but I'm not as worried about the opponent as others are. It seems like people are starting to get a little bit worried about them jumping up into that fifth seed and the possibility of Baltimore beating Pittsburgh to end the season and winning the AFC North and then being that number four seed that you have to go visit. And I'm just not that worried about it based off of how they play. I feel like the method, for as maddening as it can be as a fan or as an observer to watch, I do feel like it's transferable, something that's going to travel both on the road and in the postseason. So I'm just not as worried about it. And I also want to go back to a text that you read earlier about why is it so difficult to enjoy a win. Y'all speak for yourselves. Y'all let me know if y'all feel the same way. I have not had really any difficulty. As much as we're breaking this down and picking it apart and critiquing parts that deserve critiquing, I have had no problem enjoying the fact that they won this game and feeling good about the fact that they've won eight straight. Like, it does not feel like fool's gold. It does not feel like luck, even though I do feel like they were both lucky and good on Saturday. It feels like this is legitimate. I feel good.
Which, honestly, it's something that we don't talk about enough in sports, but I believe very strongly in. We downplay the value of luck way too much. Maybe it's because it's something that you cannot really control.
That's a great point.
I know what text is about to dominate the text line, which is luck is the combination of preparedness and that. You can text it. Go ahead and do it.
Well, be all of that then.
But
be that combination and get lucky.
Luck when it comes to health. Luck when it comes to the bouncing of an oblong-shaped football, a ball in the game. Like, I think luck comes in a good manner. But yes, you're right. They were lucky in some way. I will not say I am worried, but I will break out my handy-dandy thesaurus to say I'm a little uneasy about the idea of Baltimore. Even with the understanding that this Baltimore team has been stepping on their, you know what, on their appendage all season long. And honestly, yeah, it's been a factor of this era of Baltimore Ravens football generally, especially when it comes to December and January. However, that's still Lamar Jackson over there, even if he ain't running as fast. That's still Derrick Henry, who, when they decide to use him, can put up his seventh 200-yard game in the National Football
Four
League.
Four touchdowns. He's still Derrick Henry, man.
And their defense has been playing better, if not great, of late. You're right. I think your recipe is built to be able to handle this, but I'd be wild if I didn't say that going into Baltimore against the full complement of Baltimore Ravens is not something to set me at a little bit of disease. Yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah, to be fair, not to argue against myself, if I were ranking, just like forget seeding for a second and just think of all the teams that are going to be in the playoffs, okay? All of the AFC teams, the playoff bound AFC teams, if I were ranking them from least want to face to most, the Ravens would come up pretty quickly. Like, I think it would start with the Patriots, and then after that it would be somewhere between the Ravens and Jacksonville. Like, after that, like, I have no Denver, the top seed, I have, like, they don't scare me at all.
Okay.
I'm talking about not even like a little bit. We watched that. I mean, we were here for that. Like, that was just not, that's not an impressive football team to me. I know what they've done is impressive. It's hard to argue against them being good given what their record is. I am just not worried about them when it comes to the Texans. If I were ranking them, the Patriots would be top, but then it would be somewhere between Jacksonville and Baltimore. Okay. Out of teams that I don't want to face, just to be fair about it.
A team that I would be interested in how teams want to face them next season is the Kinders Texas Bowl champions.
Huh.
Your University of Houston Cougars. They got a win in a shootout of sorts, although I shouldn't use that language, but hey, it is what it is, and it's the Texas
metaphorically
Bowl.
Speaking, man, y'all understand what
38-35 really victory for the University of Houston versus LSU. Shout out to Connor Wegman, who did look pretty good as a gunslinger of sorts in that game.
Connor Wegman, quiet as kept, the LSU killer. Like, he owns LSU. I mean, that was part of the talking, but I got a chance to do the pregame show with
Chris
Barti on Mix 96.5 Houston. I appreciate everybody who was able to kind of tune in and tap in with us. But a point that I was making and a point that we were making, and this was being talked about, dude was 2-0 against LSU from back in his Aggie days going into this game. And look, I made the point of, hey, this is not the same team. You know, it's totally different, but it is the same quarterback with a familiarity with basically a similar defense in LSU. And I'll be damned, man, the dude handled up. I mean, what did he have? 4 touchdowns. Really just did his thing, man. 4 touchdowns. They get the game-winning field goal in the fourth quarter. And shout out to the Cougs, man. This type of turnaround, 6-game turnaround, 10-win season capped off by a Kendrick's Texas
year
Bowl
two.
Victory.
Year two, year Yo. One. Year one, you were still tearing down from what it was that Dana Holgorsen did here. And Dana is the renter that leaves holes in the walls and the carpet dirty. Like, you know, he had a good time when he had this space. Willie Fritz is a program builder, so I was anticipating like a couple of years to kind of set up the foundation. Very quickly, he has gotten to that place. In fact, Tanner Cozio, the tight end, that was a transfer in and not very heralded, but after his career, very, very good. Probably their best pass catcher this year.
Yeah.
This was Tanner after the game talking about this team and Willie Fritz and what he's been able to build.
Football way too much, man. Just this year was, we created a family and we won like it. And with the portal, it's hard to create a family, and Coach Fritz knows how to do it, and we did it. And it was so much fun, man.
Yeah, man, look.
I don't think that should be taken for granted. Like, the idea of building a quote-unquote family, especially, as he mentioned, in a portal era where there's a lot of turnover, and in a Houston place where we know Houston is a city, but as a program, it's been tough for them to, especially stepping up into this, you know, Power 4 conference world. Building a foundation that quickly where it feels like you have a culture and an identity, well, you got to give Willie Fritz a tip of the cap, man.
It was actually funny, like a kind of a culture clash, because everything about LSU and what they represent right now with the Lane Kiffin hire feels very much, and what that entails, right? You're going to have kids coming in and out of the program now because you're changing head coaches, and kids are able to do that freely. And you know, and shout out to that fact. But it does feel very much like new age college football, what's going on with LSU, at least in the moment. And then juxtapose that to what's going on at U of H, where it just feels very much like, you know, kind of that warm and fuzzy stuff that you really like about college sports. The idea that these guys go to school together and that there's a brotherhood and some kind of camaraderie, and everybody's just not some kind of free agent, even though there is some reality to that. Everybody's not just some kind of free agent. It's actually a team. I'll say this. The results that the Cougs got this year in year two under Willie Fritz are normally the kind of results that even the most ambitious and optimistic fan tends to expect in year three of a program rebuild, and they did it in year two. They deserve a tremendous amount of credit for it.
Yeah, and shout out to Connor Wegman from the 832. Didn't the Cougars get like one of the nation's top 5-star quarterbacks for the next year's recruiting? That's right. Shout out to Connor Wegman, because after the game, after this, you know, fantastic performance, he was also seen chopping it up with his soon-to-be teammate, Keyshawn Henderson, who is that 5-star quarterback, number one recruit in the nation. Shout out to my guy, Sean Bell, for recruiting him. Also, shout out to Sean Bell for now being named assistant head coach, I believe, up from, I think he's still doing quarterbacks, quarterback coaching, but he's going to be the assistant head coach, and he brings in a huge recruit. I like this, if for no other reason than seems like they're cool, because come spring, they will be competing for a job.
They will be competing for a job. It'll be very interesting to see how that plays out. I'm glad that you mentioned Sean Bell, because that is a really cool full circle story. A lot of people might not realize this, but Fritz coach, well, Sean Bell, first of all, was a high school, very successful high school coach in the area, and so he kind of brings that background.
A little fun story.
But also played.
Coached me at a point.
Sean Bell did.
Yes, he did.
Well. Fritz coached Sean Bell's brother, Brian Bell, back at Sam Houston State.
Wow, did not realize that.
And so that is kind of so basically the Fritzes and the Bells been mingling for a while now, right? So Fritz coached his brother, and now he's working with the older brother who, you know, like you mentioned, is a really good recruiter.
It's really cool to see all of them.
And it's H-Town.
Very much H-Town, and you love to see the glow up in this way.
All right, speaking of H-Town, shout out to the Rockets. Dog walked the Cavaliers on Saturday, third straight win versus the Cleveland Cavaliers. No Alperen Şengün with calf tightness, and shout out to Steven Adams. I think that we know what Steven Adams is for this team. I thought that he handled the minutes and the responsibility incredibly well, because you kind of have to not be just Steven Adams, with all due respect to what just Steven Adams is. In this instance where you don't have Alperen Şengün, he did that fantastically. And then Kevin Durant just scoring, getting buckets to a larger degree usage-wise than even recently he's had. And they got it done in three quarters and then let the bench mob handle this thing up.
Yeah, the biggest thing for me was them just kind of rectifying the way this month has gone for them.
Yeah, a lot of nasty losses.
Ooh, the month of December has not been a kind month to them. It started, you and I were actually watching part of this game, just kind of hanging out, kicking back. But the month starts with them losing that back-to-back, the back end of that back-to-back to Utah.
Yeah.
And then leading up into that Lakers game, they were 4-6 on the month, okay, and they had lost whatever it was, three of the last four, right? And so now, you know, you handle business against the Lakers on Christmas Day pretty decidedly, I would say, and then the Cavs as well put you at 500 for the month. And to me, kind of like, I guess at this point for me, especially with Alperen Şengün out, because you kind of peed away those games against teams you weren't supposed to lose to, the Kings and Pelicans and Clippers of the world. Now you can't afford to lose these games to end the year between the Lakers, the Cavs, and now you get what should be a relatively easy win today against the Pacers. But this was just them taking care of business in a way that they should have been all along and had not been.
As you mentioned, the Pacers, worst record in the league, 6-26.
Oh, they won six games now.
They have.
Okay.
They have won six.
They've won four the last time I looked.
They've lost eight in a row.
Oh, wow.
Looking to make it nine as they come into Toyota Center 7 p.m. tonight.
I just like how P. Scott's like, oh, really? Six games.
They got some wins. Now, of course, that was weeks ago because they've lost eight in a row.
Yeah.
But yeah, that team is such an evidence of how the NBA has changed. And this is like a longer conversation to be had at another time. But it is so little. It's still about who you got at the top of the roster. But it's also so much more about who you have one through seven, one through eight. So much more than maybe even as recently as 5 years ago, when you could probably go 1 through 3 or 4 and still feel like that'll dictate you get into the playoffs. And then the remaining, figuring out of where you end up in the playoffs is more about that depth. Now, the difference between first, second, third, fourth in the East and dead last is you just don't have your team together.
Yeah, it's been fascinating watching them have to adjust to the Tyrese Halliburton injury versus how, let's say, the Celtics have adjusted to the Jason Tatum injury, right? They seem to be more equipped to still be competitive. Obviously, they got a frontline star in Jaylen Brown, who's having, I think, a little bit of a renaissance season. He had a bit of a down year, wasn't as healthy last year. So he's leading them. And then you look over at the Pacers, and they just don't have it. They don't have it.
You guys already probably know this. Cold front rolling in.
Yeah, I noticed.
I do love, though, that the cold front rolling in is like, it's colder winds, man. 50 degrees. I could take that.
Hey,
look. I got people all across Texas telling me it's like 40 degrees and stuff, and I'm like, y'all can keep that.
Yeah, it's not the temperature that's bothering me. It's the fact that once that wind blow, it knocked everything off my back patio, man. I woke up this morning, everything, and I don't want to say what everything was, but everything that's on my patio was in my yard. Boy, I was so mad.
I bet you were. Man, I bet you paid good money for everything on your back patio.
I did. I got to go get some more.
Uh-huh. Yep. Before we say too much, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you rocking with us on a victory reaction Monday. In fact, with that victory, the Texans set for yet another playoff appearance. And when it comes to the playoffs, B. Scott's got a big question here. Can the Texans win in the playoffs playing like that? Let's have the conversation next.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke.
But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.